we got down to verse 59, Jeremiah 51, and change here in language up to this point from chapter 50 through 51. We've had the destruction of Babylon. And so in verse 59, read, and the word was Jeremiah the prophet, Sariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, unto Babylon in the fourth of his reign. And this Sariah was a quiet. There was a need to take this message of the destruction of Babylon to Babylon. After all, the best thing to judgment is the source of where the judgment is going. And so we read here that the word Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah. Now, the lineage here is exactly the same as we have for the Baruch. Turn over to Jeremiah 32 and read the lineage there of Baruch. So here we have that Baruch has the same father, same grandfather as Sariah. So evidently they're brothers. At least it sounded like it. Jeremiah was close enough to Sariah to lay a commandment upon him. Now we do know that Baruch was Jeremiah's probably closest trusted friend that he had, and he trusted him with the message. And even when Jeremiah was in jail, in a dungeon, why it was Baruch that carried him when he couldn't. So it sounds like that this is no doubt that we read of here. And then we read that he was to carry this message when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, unto Babylon. I think the better rendering of this fact, of the word with, better is in behalf of. We have no record that King Zedekiah ever went to Babylon until he went blinded. We have no record of him ever actually seeing, because the king, his eyes was put out before he went there. And so the thought here, I believe, is that he led the group there. Notice another thing in this verse that makes us lean toward the thought is the last statement, and this Sariah was a quiet king. A quiet king. A quiet prince. I'm sorry. Let's read that. A quiet prince. And the word prince comes from a Hebrew word that means restful, still. In fact, Psalms 23:2, and he led me beside still waters. It's the same Hebrew word, restful waters, quiet waters could be translation. This could be translated ease or comfortable, or in fact, 2 Samuel 14:17 is translated comfortable, and in Judges 20:43 is translated ease. And so all of these words could be a quiet man. Now, the fact that he was a prince, the word prince here comes from a Hebrew word that simply means a head person, one who is in charge of things. And so the word in itself could be translated captain, chief, general, governor, keeper, lord, steward. Any of those would be a good translation. And but we have, as we apply it to the thought here of them going into Babylon, most commentaries agree with the fact that they were going there with a goodwill, a caravan of goodwill, trying to gain Nebuchadnezzar's grace, you know. So that was their main purpose for going. And it seems like from the language that is used here, Sariah must have been the one that was in charge of that. But notice his personality. He was a quiet person. He wasn't boastful, he wasn't loud, he was a quiet person, he was a peaceful person. And this sounds a lot like his brother Barak would be too, doesn't it? A quiet, nice, peaceful person. And no doubt that's the reason the king wanted to send him to Babylon, because he needed somebody there that would be diplomatic. We might, let's go on, and I'll come back and pick up another thought in this too. Verse 60. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. The phrase "these words" to me, no doubt, is the same as chapter 50 and 51 down 58. All of this were these words, not some other words he might have wrote at a different time, but these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sarai, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place, to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end to reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone and cast it in the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon seek, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary, thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So there were some things he had to do more than being diplomatic. In fact, the things that we read here aren't very diplomatic things, are they? How would you like to go into the council of an enemy and tell them that their whole nation is going to fall apart, especially while they was in the height of their glory and by the most powerful nation in the world? And the things that he said there was absolutely impossible to happen. And yet, Sarai had to go and fulfill the spiritual end of his commitment, as well as the physical end of his commitment to the king. So when he went there, he had two commitments to make, didn't he? And which one was the most important? Well, of course, the one to God is the most important. So he put his life in danger, actually, here to tell this. We might notice another thing, that his mission for God was threefold. In verse 46, he was to read the word. First, he was to see or understand, and then read. It does very little good to read something that you don't understand. So he was to see, and then he was to read the words. And then the next thing he was to do was to pray. And by the way, these words that he read were scripture, weren't they? They became scripture. And so they were words of prophecy. So as he read these words, then he prayed the words, the scriptures that he read. And you know, I find this good in our own life. I enjoy reading the word and then closing the Bible and pray in harmony with the word that I just read. I don't know whether you like it, especially in some phrases where God has blessed me so wonderfully. I just like to close the Bible and just start praying these words that he's unfolded to my heart. So this is what we read that Sarai did. And then the third one, he acted upon these words. He put them into action. And he took the book, put a stone on it, cast it in the Euphrates, and said, this is the way you're going to sink. And it doesn't sound too popular or messy, but we're not in this world to win a popularity contest. And a lot of times our message isn't too popular with the world, is it? They don't like it. So this is a mission that he went on. There's something else we might look at in these words, is the meaning of these names that we have here. The word Sarai means Jehovah hath prevailed. The word Neriah means the light of Jehovah, and the word Messiah means Jehovah, my refuge. Now, we can see in these names, as they spread the message, as they go, that the message is what the Lord is, what he is, his ability, his strength, his, and so the first is the man, and we can say they sent the prevailing God there, Jehovah shall prevail, and then his father was the light of Jehovah. What better father could you have than that? And then his father was the refuge of God. Now this is what Israel as a nation is going to have when God revives them. And they're going to lay hold of this. So the one who has a message, I can see Sariah here as one of the of God's people, God's Jewish people, that will stand against the Gentile nations during the tribulation time, even. And they'll know who they are. They'll know who their descendants, who they descended from. That they come from, there are a prevailing people that come from the light. And Jesus is the light, isn't he? And so forth. So all of these things, I think we can see a beautiful picture. We might notice another thing in verse 60, that he wrote evil. Well, as I mentioned that before, it was only evil to Babylon. It surely wasn't evil to the Persians, was it? So it was evil to whom it was written. We might look at another thought there too. There is another Sariah mentioned. Let's see, it's in the next chapter, chapter 52:24, yeah. Well, this is a different Sariah. It's not the same man at all. The one in chapter 52 is a priest. This Sariah is not necessarily a priest. The one in 52, in fact, if you read in 1 Chronicles 6, the genealogy of Aaron, you'll find, I think, that he's a descendant, direct descendant from Aaron through Eleazar. You might look that up. But that's not the one that we're talking about. This is a different Sariah here. The one, if you'll notice there in chapter 52, that Sariah was taken to Babylon and slain. This one led people to Babylon. So, and then we might look at this in another light yet, in a spiritual way. Notice about the stone in verse 63, that he was to, when he finished reading the book of judgment, a book of judgment, then he was to bind a stone to the book. And by the way, that word stone is a Hebrew word meaning a building stone. And what more appropriate stone would we tie around the book of destruction than a building stone? Because it's the buildings that were to be torn down. And then it was to be cast in the midst of the Euphrates. Now we know also that, and we've studied this, that the Euphrates River was the division between the territories of Israel, northern division. And anything south of there belonged to them. Now we look at this in a little different light, in a religious sense. That, well, maybe we ought to just read Revelation 19. Alan, what verse is that? Revelation 18. I'm sorry, 18:21. So we have another city, Babylon, that a stone is going to be thrown into the sea. The difference is there we have a mighty angel that's going to throw that stone. Here we had Sariah throwing this stone. But we have a similar thought in this, the sinking, the religious system. Here we have the sinking of the political system. The religious system don't stop with the city we're talking about here. The religious system goes all the way back to Nimrod. The spiritual condition of the world will be similar to the condition, the natural condition of Babylon, because we look at the religious systems of this world and we say, how could they ever be destroyed? They are powerful, beautiful. Who can destroy the religious system? And yet when it gets God's time to destroy something, then it is going to be destroyed without doubt. And we just believe God without seeing it. And that's the same way this riot is. Remember, it was approximately 77 years from the time Sariah threw that stone into the river Euphrates till Babylon was destroyed. See, this was 7 years. He went 7 years before. Here we read here that it was in the fourth year of King Zedekiah that he went. Zedekiah reigned 11 years. So you subtract 4 from 11, you'd have 7. And then they were in Babylonish captivity for 70 years. So in approximately 77 years, at least 70 years, let's put it that way, at least 70 years, they were from the time this was spoken until God destroyed it. God brought it back to pass. And this is the way God does impossible things. There's so many things that I don't understand in life, but I know my God's able to do the impossible. Do you understand all there is about translation? Of how God is going to change our body from mortal to immortal? No, you don't. But we believe it's going to happen because God said so. And so there was no way that people could understand at this time what this prophecy was all about. But in God's due time, he brought it to pass. And whether they remembered, whether they understood or not, it doesn't say, we don't know. But it actually happened. They did sink under the power of the Medo-Persia Empire. And then we'll read again verse 64, and thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, colon. And then we read, and they shall be weary. They shall be weary. The word weary comes from a Hebrew word that means to faint. But usually it has a thought to faint in flight, in fear, faint in fear. But usually it's connected with flight. There is a Hebrew word, and I don't remember. I mean, I'm trying to bring it into my mind. But remember in the ninth chapter of Daniel, verse 21. Jack, read that for me. I can't quote it. But Daniel saw the angel or the messenger flying through the air. The word fly, Heather, is connected with the word that we're using here. It isn't, I don't believe it's the same word, but it's from the same derivative. Now the verb there, fly swiftly, is from the same derivative as the word we have here for weary. So that's where we get the thought here that we're fearful and running, trying to leave. You know, weakness could be connected with the thought.